everyone. I'm so excited about today's episode of Beauty Boxes. We have the amazing Priyanka Ganju, the founder and CEO of Culpi Beauty, here on the podcast. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me here, Laura.
I'm so happy to meet you and to have you here. So you started a beauty company, Culpi Beauty, that is a trailblazing makeup brand that celebrates South Asian culture and champions inclusivity in the beauty industry. And I know you have a corporate background at Ipsy and Estee Lauder. Tell us a little bit about how you decided to start this brand.
I never grew up thinking I'd start a beauty brand, so it's a shocking career shift for me. But I did find myself in the corporate side of beauty at Estee Lauder and at Ipsy through like sort of my business and strategy background. But that's really where I fell in love with beauty. I didn't wear makeup growing up. I always found it intimidating. I thought it wasn't really meant for me, like girls who looked like me. I just didn't see myself in beauty campaigns or someone who would like actually look good in makeup. And when I was in these companies, in my roles, which were definitely much more business oriented, I was surrounded by people who loved beauty, and that allowed me to explore and discover makeup on my own terms as an adult, and I realized how fun it is and how expressive and joyful it can be. And that was sort of my aha moment of being like, wow, why did it take me like so long to recognize that red lipstick is red lipstick? It doesn't have to come with judgment. It doesn't have to come with all this like baggage. It can just be a way of me feeling my best on that day. And that was sort of the seed of where Culpi was born from. And I kept waiting for a brand that I felt would resonate with me, speak to the South Asian consumer from a product perspective and address the concerns, but also from an emotional perspective and make me feel seen. And I didn't find that. One fine day I was like, let me build it myself.
And I noticed that you have really beautiful eye color on right now. You have this amazing greenish gradient kind of eyeshadow look. Is this your own brand?
Of course it is. Okay. We're just talking about being walking billboards. Your eyelashes look amazing.
Thank you.
For our own brands. And yeah, this is our Zuddy Eyes eyeshadow. These are one in one eyeshadow pods. So this eye look took me like literally like less than a minute, because it's a beautiful cream to powder shadow. You can use your fingers to apply all over the lid. It is a duochrome shade, so it kind of gives you that blue green shift.
Yeah, it kind of looks a little like aquamarine type of idea.
So it feels like an editorial beauty look, but so approachable, so easy, and just you can incorporate color into your everyday life. And that's what really Culpi, and why we call it Culpi, which is a South Asian dessert, all of that ties to like just making beauty really approachable and fun and colorful.
When you were in school and growing up, what did you think you were going to do professionally?
I thought I was going to be a lawyer, because okay. I'm very argumentative. So even though I know it doesn't make sense, but like people around me were like, you're always arguing and going back and forth, so you should be a lawyer. But then I studied engineering in school. So,
okay, amazing.
I'm all over the place.
All right, so let's go back to the early days of Culpi. When did you found the brand?
I left my job in 2019 and I worked on it for about 2 years, and we launched in 2021.
Okay, wonderful. How's it been going?
It's been great. It's been great. Like the best, the highs are high and the lows are low. But since then, we launched with our first product, which was Kajal Eyeliner, which was the one product we launched with on our D2C website. And then since then, we've launched in retail. We're at Sephora now nationwide and in Canada in over 700 stores, which is insane. And we've since then also added a lot more products to our collection. I believe we have at this point 8 different collections. So yeah, it's been amazing sort of building step by step and growing the brand.
Wonderful. How did you start putting the product into the world when you were a D2C brand and kind of just trying to make a name for yourself? What were your first couple of steps?
I think the first thing was I just wanted to bring this brand to life and launch it. I think a lot of people ask me, like, did you put together a business plan? And I was like, no, in the beginning, it was truly a passion project, which even though I have a business background and an MBA and everything, I think it was just something that I truly felt like deserved to be in the world. And a lot of it was about the storytelling and what I wanted people to feel when they saw the brand. I wanted people to feel seen in our visuals, in our images, in our names, product names. in our colors. And so it was a lot about building that brand, and the product came from consumer interviews. I mean, I know we didn't have customers, but when I was literally in coffee shops in New York asking a lot of South Asian women what did they think was missing, one of the things I heard repeatedly was that they had a kajal, which is a traditional eyeliner from their mom or somewhere, and then they just didn't have a good relationship with it. They felt it was smudging, it wasn't like, it didn't make them feel like good. And I was like, wait, this is something that maybe we can recreate for our generation in our way. And so that's really kind of what led to that first product. And but coming to that first launch moment was truly like bringing that passion project to life. And now, of course, you still have to run it as a business because there is a business part to it. But I'm glad that the first approach was just creative.
How did you scale in your early days?
Early days was truly word of mouth, I would say. I would say for the first couple of years, we were just focused on, building our social media presence on Instagram and TikTok. We used to have a blog way back when, and it was really featuring a lot of up and coming Gen Z writers who just hadn't had a platform to publish their stories about culture and wellness. And so it kind of created this very close-knit community of people who were like, have you heard of Kofi? And like, you know, on launch day, we had traffic on our site because of this close-knit community we'd built. And maybe we had like maybe 5,000 followers on Instagram, but they were very, very, very engaged. And a lot of the first couple of years were just building that engagement. I remember when someone new would follow us on Instagram, I'd typically DM them back and be like, can we get on a phone call? Because I want to know who you are. How did you find us? And so I feel like many of those folks have still followed us and loved us. And I feel like that personal connection is something that's so special about those early days.
Were there any moments that you felt like, oh my gosh, maybe I should not have quit my corporate life and maybe this is not going to work out?
Oh, so many. I mean, I left my job in 2019 and then we all went into lockdown. Like a year later, just around the time when I was starting to reach out to labs for actual product development, and I definitely had a moment where I was like, nobody's wearing makeup, nobody's going anywhere. So like, why am I doing this? But then I kind of took a step back and was like, in 5-10 years from now, like, this brand isn't a trend or a moment. It's really something that I believe deserves space. And so kind of putting that perspective helped. But at that point I was like, oh shit, do I want to go back and get a job because the world's coming to an end?
And the pandemic was such a scary time for everyone, but I think it was really an interesting time for beauty, skincare, wellness, all of that stuff, because people started staring at themselves in Zoom cameras. So did it turn out in the end that it was a point of inflection for the business?
I think it was definitely a point of inflection from, you know, of course, us starting with eyes ended up being great because people were wearing eye makeup even though they were wearing masks. So definitely that was good, but that was just by luck. I don't think that was something I orchestrated. But I think what was interesting around that time was there was a lot of call for inclusion in beauty. I think it was the time where we had the Black Lives Matter movement. There was the 15% pledge, which was really trying to have more founders of color and Black founders be on the shelves of stores and represent the population they were serving. And I think I'm a beneficiary of that because I feel like sometimes it's about capturing the moment and us being like loud and proud about our South Asian identity, being early in that and being in that moment where people were looking for those stories. So on launch day, we got press coverage and Vogue and Allure. And of course we had beautiful branding and product, but I think it's also being in that cultural moment of, you know, people are looking for those stories and looking to uplift founders like me, which I'm very grateful for.
How do you balance cultural authenticity with modern beauty trends? And tell me a little bit about how you're integrating South Asian heritage into your brand.
I think of it a lot about what do I want to use, right? Like as I kind of am building for myself, you know, of course we do focus groups and we make sure we're building for the community, but there's also this check of like, does this resonate with me? We're not trying to force like cultural connection if it doesn't exist. And throughout our journey, like whether it's the name or which ingredients we use, the colors we use, it's all sort of been a natural extension of how we want that joyfulness to come through, how we want the product to come through. And so there hasn't been a trade-off, which I think has been interesting. Like, I thought in the beginning that, you know, we would, people told me that you'd niche yourself down too quickly. And I was like, I'm okay with that because that is the gap I'm trying to fill. But what's been interesting is that a lot more people have resonated with it, even if they're not from a South Asian background, because they want to be part of that, you know, joyfulness and playfulness part of the story.
What are some of your best selling products?
Right now, the one we're having a very hard time keeping in stock are our Lessee Lips lip staining oils. They're one of its kind lip oil that's hydrating, but it leaves a stain behind so you don't have to reapply, and they've been selling out like crazy.
Okay, awesome. And are there certain colors or color palettes that you feel like you're best known for?
We study all of undertones really, really well. I feel like that's the big white space really with color cosmetics, but also with complexion. You know, our concealer does really well because we have 21 shades and we have a lot of shades that have that olive, peach, pink. Like, my own undertone is like one that I never found a match for. And we've been studying those undertones really well. And I think the colors we create tend to reflect that. An example of that is our purple blush. We launched a blush which was purple in color, but it had a warm undertone, like a pink warm undertone. And typically purple blushes have a blue undertone, but they look like bruises on a lot of Indian skin. And so it was sort of interesting to create that purple with a warm undertone and see how flattering it looked on olive undertones. So in every collection, you'll see that we're trying to like create these new color stories because we're serving that undertone really well.
That's amazing. And I like the idea of being so specific. You know, you can't be everything to everybody, but you can really be something important to a specific kind of person who resonates with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think when you have people who don't like what you're doing, you're probably doing something right. So.
Yes, that is probably correct. I think you probably have that right. What advice would you give to someone who is, you know, so just starting out, or a younger person who's thinking about a career in entrepreneurship or beauty?
I think you just get into it. Like, you don't overthink it, because I'm an overthinker myself, but sometimes you just have to learn the hard lessons. I think about like, even launching with Sephora, you know, we launched with Sephora just 18 months after we launched D2C, and we only had one product till then. And launching with Sephora, which is a national retailer, is just like, it's a lot. They have high standards, understandably, but we just did it. And I'm not saying everything went perfectly. We had stock issues. We had like, I was like, how do I market this? Like, it was so stressful. But once you're through it, you're like, okay, I've learned all these lessons. So sometimes it's just like, just
trial and error.
You just start
and see what happens.
Yeah.
Looking ahead, what are your hopes and expectations for what you see as the future of the company?
I really want people to have a joyful relationship with beauty. I feel like time and again, we've seen the themes of like trying to fit into a certain aesthetic, a certain beauty standard come through in the beauty conversation. And that's why I stayed away from makeup and beauty for so long, or didn't feel beautiful for so long. And so that's sort of like, you know, from a mission perspective, that's what I want to get to, is like have a space where people feel like they can have fun with makeup and beauty without feeling they need to fit into a certain standard. And that's a global need, I think. That's a global need for what we're doing. And, you know, right now we're in the US, we're in Canada, but I'm hoping to bring Kofi around the world soon and continue to grow our collections.
Amazing. As a South Asian woman in the beauty industry, what challenges have you faced and how have you overcome them?
I think it's interesting because you read about these statistics, right? Like, women of color get like less than, I don't know, 1% of VC funding. And then you're like, oh, but maybe like I'm not part of that statistic, but you realize you are. And when you hear those no's, right? You hear the no's from around the ecosystem, whether it's investors, retailers, like, you know, there's a lot of barriers where people think that because you're building a brand rooted in South Asian culture, it's only for South Asian people. And so it'll have a very narrow audience, which I think is a logical fallacy. One, because there's billions of South Asians in the world, but also because just because I have this cultural focus doesn't mean that other people won't enjoy the brand, which they do. We've proven them wrong. So that's been sort of, you know, pretty challenging, I would say, but I think it's also an area of strength. I mean, I know that there's so few of us, and that's an opportunity for us to, you know, hopefully bring that change.
And differentiation can be such a strength.
Yeah.
I think we're finally entering an era where you don't have to fit into an archetype of beauty or thought process or business or anything else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, amazing. Thank you so much for being here. Can you tell us where we can find Kolfi Beauty and where we can find you?
You can find Kolfi Beauty at Sephora and on our website, kolfibeauty.com. Follow us at kolfi.beauty on TikTok and Instagram. And then you can find me on Instagram at Priyanka Lester.
Thank you so much.